What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, last day of the month here, starting December tomorrow, and just all kinds of things going on here today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be taking very many phone calls because we have got so much news to get through, and probably third hour is when you should think about calling on in with your comments and questions. Meanwhile, Mike is in our control room keeping us out of trouble, and we're about to go. All right, well, Jill Stein, just under the deadline, filed for a presidential vote recount request in Michigan. And everybody is trying to figure out what the heck is going on, because Jill Stein cannot win the presidency with recounts in three states. She's acting as a front for Hillary Clinton. Now, Michigan already had a hand recount. The margin was so tight there, state law mandated a recount by hand. They've already had it. Okay, and Jill Stein is justifying her demand for a recount on the basis that there were some blank ballots found somewhere. That's it. It's a bit of a reach. Now, in theory, the recount starts Friday. They're going to work through the weekends, and they can complete the recount before the Electoral College, unless there is a contest of the recount itself, in which case Michigan will not make the deadline to be part of the Electoral College. This is what's going on here. Nobody's expecting the recount to reverse the results in the three states. Hillary's game here is to take Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania out of the Electoral College by tangling them up in Florida 2000-style legal proceedings, so that going into the Electoral College, the gap between Hillary and Trump is much narrower, so that only a handful of electors who are being threatened or bribed or blackmailed can flip from Trump to Hillary and hand her the White House. That's their game plan. That's their game plan. She's going to steal the White House, and she could trigger a civil war with all this nonsense. And if she steals the White House, I can't imagine anybody except the snowflakes and the buttercups and the pansies and everything thinking this is in any way legitimate. Now, there's a story that came out of AlanBWest.com that you need to pay attention to. These are the actual numbers from the election. There are 3,141 counties in the United States. Trump won 3,084 of them. Hillary won 57, the counties that surrounded those huge urban centers with so many voters in them. There are 62 counties in New York State. Trump won 46 of them. Clinton got 16. Now, it's claimed that Clinton won the popular vote by approximately 1.5 million votes, but that doesn't stand up when you subtract out the dead and illegal immigrants. So, basically, where Hillary got all of her votes, with these huge, densely populated Democratic cities where there are all these illegal immigrants voting. And, of course, the vote riggers go to the high population density areas because it's easier to just have lots and lots of votes and people to work with close at hand. They're not going to go out and try and steal the election driving across rural America. So Hillary has not given up. Like Vampirella, she has risen from the grave and strides across the countryside. Recount, recount. It's not the recount she's after. It's preventing Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania from participating in the Electoral College. That's the game plan. That's what's going on here. Now, I understand Donald Trump's lawyers are getting involved, but the problem is they're up against that December 19th deadline of the Electoral College. Challenges from either side could make the states miss their deadlines to get their results certified for the Electoral College. And that's what Hillary wants. That's why Jill Stein waited so late to start this, to run out the clock, so that even if Trump's lawyers get involved, it simply drags out the legal process all that much more. That's what they're trying to do. This is Florida 2000 all over again. And remember, after Florida 2000, the government promised they were going to fix the election system. Did they ever do it? Of course not. That's why we're in this mess again. Because we have a national election system designed to facilitate and conceal election fraud. That's what's going on. Now, Obama is already out there saying, no, illegal immigrants voted in the election. He can't possibly know that. Because of all during this year, Democratic lawyers went all across the country knocking down voter ID laws in state after state after state. A lot of this was funded by George Soros. So you don't have a factual basis for saying no illegal immigrants voted in this election. Meanwhile, you've got votefraud.org and truethevote.org are both saying millions of non-citizens voted in this election. Hillary's people are out there saying, oh, but she won the popular vote. She won the popular vote. She should be the president. Do you remember during the primaries when Bernie Sanders kept winning the popular vote, but somehow Hillary got all the delegates? Did you see Hillary stand up and say, well, we should respect the popular vote, and I'm going to give some of my delegates to Bernie Sanders? Do you remember seeing her do that? Of course not. She never did. Because the elections are a contest about electors, not the popular vote. Now then, Donald Trump has picked Elaine Chao to run the Department of Transportation, his latest appointment there. Now, do you remember the story that came out yesterday where Donald Trump said that, well, you know, there should be a penalty for rigging, burning the American flag. And I don't know if he means the Obama flag, but that was it. And the media jumped all over him. Oh, no, burning the flag is a form of free expression. It's protected by the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court says so. And Trump trolled them all because all he was talking about was the same exact law Hillary Clinton proposed back in 2005. And back then, when Hillary was proposing the Flag Protection Act of 2005, the corporate media was, oh, yes, this is a great, the flag is sacrosanct. We should never burn the flag. And by the way, I'm absolutely in agreement. We should not burn the American flag unless we need it as kindling to burn some politicians with it and we can't find anything else. That's the only exemption I have to that particular rule here. We're going to take a second to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. And the corporate media is still out there upping the ante, as it were, on this fake news witch hunt, which is really just another form of attempts at censorship. Control over what you see, what you know, what you hear, what you see. It's the modern electronic version of the Nazi book burning is what they're doing right now. They can't stand the idea that people go out and find information for themselves, that they're going to think for themselves and decide for themselves. Obama was out there lamenting that you, the American people, have access to way too much information. You should only have access to the information the government's going to hand to you. You should be forced to be dependent on the corporate media and not allow any competition the way you're forced to be dependent on the Federal Reserve for your cash. Dependency is slavery, and that applies to information as well as to money, as well as to products and so forth. And by the way, a little reminder here, as the corporate media stands up and tries to cloak itself as the real news that you can trust, we do need to remember all the way back that time when the Washington Post actually ran the CIA's propaganda network as part of Operation Mockingbird. They had a huge network of controlled assets throughout the corporate media. The top executives, some 3,000 all told. And they ran this since the end of World War II. Now, a lot of people who were on that list, put out by the Washington Post, citing this website, Prop or Not, that was set up only last summer. Its owners are anonymous. It's registered through a private registration company to conceal who really set this up. And they put up this list of all these websites that are fronts for Russian propaganda. And, of course, no proof. It's just, you know, a smear job is what it is. It's McCarthyism all over again. Oh, they're part of the Red Menace. You should shun them. And a lot of these media outlets, independent media outlets who are on that list, are now considering lawsuits for defamation. And they're talking about suing Prop or Not. If I were them, I would sue the Washington Post. They've got more money. And if it goes to class action, I'm definitely going to be joining on in because I was on that list. And it is defamation. When you go on out and say that somebody is a Russian stooge and you have absolutely no proof to back it up, that's defamation. And I don't think the Washington Post could successfully mount an absence of malice defense in this particular case, given their editorial positions on the independent media in recent weeks. Now, Truth in News has acquired a private citizen willing to donate a $10,000 reward payable in Bitcoin for the names of the people behind this Prop or Not website. If you know who they are, you can go to Truth in News and file a report, and if it turns out to be right, you're going to be $10,000 richer. And we will hold these people up to the scorn of the public. Story coming out of Washington's blog, as opposed to Washington Post, basically talking about, before Hillary Clinton lost the election, they were openly talking about finding ways to shut down the independent media, to remove your freedom of choice as to where you would go to find out what this country is doing, what the government is doing. We used to have laws to protect diversity of opinion. Now they're going the other way. You will listen to Pravda and Izvestia and whatever the Nazis called their newspaper back during World War II. Like I said, we're witnessing the updated digital version of the Nazi book burning. Das ist der Fake News. Das ist der Fake News. Sigeil, 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 Sigeil. Now, Associated Press has just issued an edict to all of their Associated Press reporters that from now on, whenever they're talking about Donald Trump supporters, they will always be labeled as the alt-right. They're trying to create a new mythic bad guy. Ooh, that's the alt-right. You don't want to pay it. Ooh, remember when Hillary was doing the vast right-wing conspiracy? They're trying to bring that one back. They're trying to imply there's something wrong with being alternative, which is why I prefer the term the independent media. It's amazing how obvious it is. The more I see this going on and escalating, I am just deathly afraid this is going to end up with violence in the streets of America. And I would love to find a way to avoid that, but I think the establishment understands this is, from their point of view, it's an all-or-nothing fight. They're either going to establish their tyranny, their dictatorship of information and politics, or they're going to collapse. From their point of view, they're fighting for their survival. And they're blaming the independent media. We didn't set out to attack the establishment. The establishment has been committing suicide with lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And we should not feel sorry for them at all. Now, apparently over on Newsnight, they did a segment saying that the Brexit vote in Great Britain and Donald Trump's election victory are somehow undemocratic. It's the end of democracy. Apparently, democracy is only valid when it serves the establishment, the elites, the money junkies. When the people stand up and actually act like a democracy, oh, it's undemocratic, those people, those voters. What were they thinking? Populism is the core principle of democracy. And it's amazing how undemocratic we're seeing our current political, media, economic establishment act in this crisis. They're trying to wear the cloak of being somehow democratic, even as everything that they do is exactly the opposite, like our modern Nazi book burning here. Now, Donald Trump's war with the corporate media is escalating, and he's pointing out that CNN has become even more abusive since Donald Trump won the election, which we've all seen in all the corporate media. It's hardly confined to CNN. They all bet the farm on a Hillary Clinton victory. They bet their reputations on it. And they suffered major, major damage. Their phony opinion polls were exposed. Their predictions of a Hillary victory were a huge embarrassment. But don't expect any of these people, except for Sean Hannity, let's give him some credit, don't expect any of these people to stand up and say, okay, we were wrong, and we're going to start telling you the truth from now on. They're not. Their business model is they make the millions of dollars they make for being very convincing liars. That's their business model. And now it doesn't work anymore. If there is one thing we can point to as a success of the independent media, it is that we have taken away from the government and the corporate media their ability to lie to the public with impunity. And even silencing the independent media isn't going to change that. The American people are now skeptical. They're distrusting. And they ought to be. You should never trust government because it is the government. Story coming out of Investment Watch blog. The media loves to call Trump an idiot. Oh, he's an idiot. He's a dummy. He's an idiot. Well, dear corporate media, Trump is a billionaire and you are not. Trump is now president-elect and you are not. Donald Trump is relevant and you most certainly are not anymore. Remember when Hillary Clinton was trying to tarnish Donald Trump, saying, what kind of a successful businessman loses $1 billion in a year? And then Trump came back and said, what kind of a Secretary of State loses $6 billion? All right, let's talk about the war zones. Things are heating up, not getting any coverage here in the corporate media. Turning over to Syria, Aleppo is on the verge of being liberated back under the control of the Syrian government. The civilians are trying to get out through the humanitarian corridors. The U.S.-backed Syrian rebels, who are still stupid enough to be in there, are shooting at the civilians, trying to kill them as they flee to the government-held areas. And that's another embarrassment for the corporate media, who for 5 years have been screaming how the Syrian people hate Bashar al-Assad, how they welcome the liberators, they'll give them hugs and big, wet, sloppy kisses. And now, of course, we're seeing the civilians of Syria glad to be free of the U.S.-backed terrorists and grateful to be back in the embrace of their own elected government. Now, right now, it looks like a third of Aleppo has been cleaned of all these terrorists. And it's accelerating because more and more of these terrorist groups are accepting the amnesty offer. They're surrendering their weapons. They're pledging their loyalty back to Syria, and they're going home. Now, yesterday we were talking about a very alarming statement that Turkey's President Erdogan made during a speech about how Turkish military forces have entered northern Syria to end the rule of the tyrant al-Assad. Now, I read a full translated transcript of his speech, and in reading it, I almost got the sense that Erdogan was just mouthing off and not really thinking about what he was saying. But, of course, it has caused a stir around the world. Russia is now demanding that the government of Turkey explain those remarks and has called for a meeting between Sergey Lavrov and Turkey's foreign minister to say just what the heck is going on. Now, whether Erdogan or not is going to invade Syria to go after Assad is problematic, because Erdogan has to know that any promised U.S. military support for a war against Russia will evaporate likely the day after Donald Trump takes office. I have a feeling that Erdogan is going to back down in his meeting with Russia and come back and say, well, no, I was just mouthing off. I think he's going to back down on this one. So we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
How you doing? This is Jimmy from Zipa, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. All you people that like to procrastinate, the people that like to go ahead on Black Friday the night before and they camp out waiting for that great deal. Well, hello, newsflash, the deal for Zipa is now. The deal for Zipa is today. We do not reward procrastination. If you want a great price on a Zipa, go to Zipa.com and buy now. If you're going to go ahead and procrastinate, we're going to penalize you for it. What does that mean? That means the price of all the Zipas go up on Black Friday. And you know what happens on Cyber Monday? It goes up again. This is the last opportunity that you will have to get this great price for the Zipa. This is the time now. You wait till Black Friday, the price is going up. Because remember, sleep is priceless. Go to Zipa.com, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com, and get the deal now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the war zones. We're talking about Syria. Now, as you know, when the United States undertook to overthrow Bashar al-Assad about 5 years ago, the original excuse given to you was Bashar al-Assad was evil. Bashar al-Assad, you know, leaves his keys in the car. Bashar al-Assad passes wind in elevators. Bashar al-Assad tap dances barefoot on shag carpeting. And he's a bad, bad person, and we have to go deal with that. And then, of course, they had those horrible embarrassments of trying to claim that Assad was gassing his own Alawite supporters with banned chemical weapons right in front of the UN chemical weapons inspectors on the very day they arrived. And, of course, the one thing they couldn't come up with was a reason for Assad to do something that's stupid. And ultimately, the United Nations said, no, this is being done by these U.S.-backed rebels. They're doing the chemical weapons attacks in order to blame Bashar al-Assad. So at that point, the U.S. story changed. They actually thought you were not going to remember what they had said just a few weeks ago, and it became, oh, we're not in Syria to make war on the Syrian people. We're not in Syria to make war on Assad. We're there to fight the global war on terror, and ISIS and al-Qaeda are in Syria, and the U.S. should have known because the U.S. was supplying them. And even though the U.S. kept saying we're there to strike at the terrorists in Syria, the actual attacks always seemed to hit critical Syrian infrastructure. pipelines, food storage, water processing plants, things like that. And every time the U.S. came out with the same thing, oh, we're sorry, mistake, horrible, horrible mistake. You're just being picky about this stuff. And they're still at it. Last September, U.S. forces attacked Syrian soldiers and killed dozens of them. And everybody was up in arms about that. And now the U.S. official position, unintentional error. We really made a mistake. I don't know what's wrong with our gunners and our pilots. They've all got terrible, terrible eyesight. We've got a shortage of pilots, and we're having to put these people in. They've got the little white canes and, you know, the seeing eye dog in the second seat in the airplane. And, you know, these things are just going to happen. Call it the fog of war. So they're still out there attacking Syrian forces and telling you that it's all about dealing with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. They really do think you are all morons when it comes down to it. Now, Vladimir Putin has just authorized sending mobile military hospitals to Aleppo because some of the civilians have been injured. And he's sending the mobile hospitals to provide medical assistance to residents of Aleppo and the residential areas near it. Meanwhile, the U.S. government, which has been mouthing about their concern of the wounded civilians in Aleppo, hasn't really sent anything. Now, Congress right now is debating next year's defense budget. And in there is an allocation for $350 million worth of lethal assistance, meaning things that kill people, to go to Ukraine. $350 million worth. That's a lot of lethal assistance to prop up their puppet ruler, Poroshenko. And once again, we're starting to see the propaganda ramp up against Iran. And you've probably seen in the corporate media how Iran nearly provoked a war with the United States of America. Gosh darn those Iranians. And what actually happened is a U.S. military helicopter was flying just off the coast of Iran. This is a military helicopter. And apparently one of the Iranian patrol boats along the coast aimed a weapon at the helicopter to warn it off. Did not fire. And even the U.S. admits the crew of the helicopter did not feel threatened by what was happening. They just veered off and went their way. And this corporate media is out there saying this is a dangerous provocation. No, a dangerous provocation by Iran would be if Iranian military helicopters were flying off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. Then you would have a case for an Iranian provocation. Do we see Iranian ships in the Gulf of Mexico or off the coast of Baja California? Do we see their aircraft over our airspace? No, we don't. We know who the provocateur here is, and it's not Iran. Remember, Iran has not launched a war of conquest in over 200 years. It's not their nature. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we get back to the war zones here, something just crossed my desk here. As we see Hillary attempt to hijack the 2016 election and steal the White House for herself, it turns out the solution to this entire crisis can be found back in 1878 because the U.S. House of Representatives has the power to impeach Hillary Clinton, which would disqualify her from holding any public office. And they can do it even though she's out of office, because back in 1878, the House of Representatives successfully impeached Secretary of War William Belknap after he himself had left office. So we just put up this story here. There's a petition to be signed, not that anybody pays any attention to petitions, but that is another possibility. The House of Representatives is dominated by the GOP. They could still move forward with an impeachment of Hillary Clinton, which would immediately disqualify her from holding any public office. She's already lost the election. You know, she's rising from the grave like a vampire. The House of Representatives has it within their authority to drive that wooden stake and sprinkle garlic all over her. Now then, getting on back to the war zones, more U.S. troops have arrived in Yemen. Remember when we were all told, oh, that's just an argument between Yemen and Saudi Arabia, and yes, we're giving Saudi Arabia all the weapons, but really it's just between Yemen and Saudi Arabia. And, of course, there's already a contingent of U.S. forces fighting in Yemen's south, supposedly against al-Qaeda, but we know what's really going on. The people of Yemen tried to eject their imposed U.S. puppet rulers. And the U.S. is going back in there to slap the Yemeni people around and say, you will accept your puppet rulers and you will like it. With all of the attendant bloodshed and destruction appertaining thereto. And now more U.S. forces are on the ground in Yemen. We know who the aggressor is in this age. It's not Russia. It's not Iran. It's not Syria. It wasn't Iraq. It's the United States of America. I know most people still don't want to deal with this, but the fact is that right now we're the bad guys. And 50 years from now, the world will look on the stars and stripes with the same revulsion that our generation looks on the swastika. I don't want to see future generations of Americans growing up with that imposed collective guilt that we see in the people of Germany, although they're breaking free from that, thank goodness. But that's where we're headed with this. Meanwhile, Israel has bombed Lebanon again, claiming it's against Hezbollah. But they're bombing installations along the Beirut-Damascus highway. Just hauled on, off, and flew into somebody else's country and dropped bombs. Trying to put more pressure on Syria here. Now, dealing with the wildfires that they're having over in Israel, and they're very nasty, as is the one in Tennessee. When the fires first started, Netanyahu came on out and said it's acts of terror by the Palestinians. Then the Palestinians sent their own fire trucks and firefighters in to help deal with the blazes. And we started finding out that the fires had actually started from settlers trying to burn the Palestinians' olive groves and being dumb enough to do it in a high wind. Well, apparently that's all fading away, and Netanyahu is now back to saying that the fires are all the fault of the Palestinians. You're not being very specific, saying fires, Palestinians, fires, Palestinians. And Palestinian supporters are saying this is just a continuation of Netanyahu's strategy of incitement. He is trying to fan up the conflict to get somebody to do something he can use as an excuse to launch yet another attack into Gaza, into the West Bank. Now, one of the things Netanyahu did that drew a lot of criticism around the world was they passed a law banning the call to prayer by Muslims. And there are a lot of Muslims inside Israel and the occupied territories. And the law was passed because supposedly the call to prayer was waking up the Jewish population, who like to sleep in, I guess. And at the same time, of course, it is going to be confusing the Muslims as to when they're supposed to show up for the prayer. Well, it turns out it wasn't a big deal anyway, because already there are smartphone applications for Muslims to have on their smartphone that will tell them when it's time to assemble. The call of prayer is now virtual, online, and Netanyahu can sleep late, undisturbed now. Now, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have dropped another bombshell. This is 500,000 U.S. cables dating back to 1979. And what is contained in there is more evidence, confirming evidence, that ISIS was created primarily by the Central Intelligence Agency in concert with Saudi Arabia and some other players. But it was a CIA operation. We needed this enemy. We needed this proxy, this evil presence who would go in and do bad things to these countries that we wanted to do, but we're supposed to be the good guys. And, of course, to wag at you, the American people, to convince you to give the government what remains of your money and all of your children for these wars against evil ISIS. ISIS is in Syria. We've got to go into Syria. Whoops, we bombed a food storage facility. Our bad mistake, but we're going after ISIS. Oh, sorry, we blew up a water purification plant. Another mistakes happen, but we're there after ISIS, and on and on and on. Now, a lot of people have had their eyes on OPEC these last few days because, as you know, there was this disastrous oil price war that has put Saudi Arabia on the path to bankruptcy in 3 to 4 years. And OPEC finally did what everybody expected them to do. They're cutting production by 1.2 million barrels per day, down from the current 33.64 million barrels per day. So it's, you know, a few percentage points, but it's enough to send oil prices up. And you're going to feel it eventually at the gas pump. And I got to tell you, I was listening to one of our local radio stations, and they were doing the news here. And this guy comes on out and says, you know, OPEC is reducing oil supply. And he says, but don't worry, you're going to benefit at the gas pump. And Claire and I both had this, you know, incredible, irresistible force of gravity between our forehead and the palm of our hand and saying, ooh, what is this guy saying? Does he actually think about what he's reading off that piece of paper they put in front of him? No, cutting production is going to drive oil prices up, and everything that is dependent on that oil is going to go up in price as well. Now, yes, this is going to help those nations struggling with the lowered oil prices, going to help Venezuela, going to help Canada, going to help the fracking industry, but it is not going to be a benefit to ordinary people, and you might as well get used to that right now. There are a lot of idiots in the corporate media. They don't even think about what they're being told to broadcast. You could put just any nonsense in front of them, and they'll just say it. Now, pardon me, not too long ago, Donald Trump convinced Ford to keep more of their auto worker jobs here in the United States instead of sending them to Mexico. Now, 9 months ago, there was a video that went viral from the Carrier air conditioning people. Where they were informing their workers they were all being let go because the air conditioning plant was going to move from Indiana to Mexico. And it actually became a focus for Trump's America First plans. Now, today, according to CNBC, the Trump team and United Technologies have reached an agreement to keep those 1,000 factory jobs at the Carrier plant in Indiana. Now, it's a token amount. Let's be honest. We've got a population of 300 million Americans. We've got 94 million legal citizen Americans looking for work. 1,000 is just a drop in the bucket, but it's a start. And it is an indicator that Donald Trump understands a reality. If the American people do not have high-paying jobs, they don't have money to go to the shopping malls and buy Christmas goodies. They don't have the money to buy new cars. They don't have the money to buy homes. They don't have the money to pay taxes. They don't have the money to pump back into the economy at the bottom to keep the top propped up. He has a wisdom on display that has been totally lacking from our professional politicians for well over a decade. And it's another reminder what a good idea it was getting a businessman into the White House instead of another career politician who's tangled up with the CIA's cocaine and gun-running operations. Now, Paul Craig Roberts is out there saying that the way things are headed, the U.S. paper dollar should be reduced to the level of toilet paper. Well, it's not there yet, but it will be soon. We're seeing Weimar-style inflation happening in Venezuela. They don't even count the money anymore. They just weigh it. And as more and more countries pivot to Russia and China, and Marine Le Pen's success in France signals that France may be ready to pivot to Russia, foreign demand for the U.S. dollar is going to crater. And we are hearing rumblings, and this is a revival of something they were talking about back in the 1990s, of actually having two different U.S. currencies. An internal domestic currency, which is not allowed to leave the country, not allowed to go across the borders, and an external only U.S. dollar that would be the global trade and banking currency, except that one is not probably going to be well accepted at this point. And if you think about it, it's not really a bad idea. We're being told that the war on cash is to fight terrorism and to fight the war on drugs. And if we, the American people, have cash that can't be taken outside the country and spent there, won't be honored, that solves that problem. And we're still allowed to have the freedom to decide where our wealth is going to go. You know, we're going to be able to stop off at the bakery on the way home from work and buy a jelly donut without our bank knowing that we're violating our diet. Because we're inherently private people about things like jelly donuts. All righty, we're going to go ahead and start taking phone calls, and we're going to start with John in Barbados. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. I don't know if you remember, but on November the 9th, I did warn you about the rising enthusiasm for Donald Trump and what was going to happen, and it's happening. They are trying to steal this. That just like they're trying to steal Brexit, they're trying to steal the election from Donald Trump via this recount nonsense.
And, well, I'm absolutely in agreement, and you know, I was kind of, I think most Americans were hoping this nightmare was going to be over. But I think the giveaway was when Hillary finally did her sort of kind of maybe concession speech the day after the election. John Podesta made this cryptic remark, you know, when he was leaving, and he said, "This isn't over yet." And so it appears they had contingency plans against a Trump victory. And if they fail on this recount, the goal of the recount is not to change the results of the three states, but to block those three states from participating in the Electoral College. If they fail on that, their next step will be an assassination attempt against Donald Trump, which is why this thank you tour that he has announced it strikes me as an incredibly stupid idea. And it is a reminder of the comment I made when he got into this race. I said, I like him. I like the fact that he's an outsider. But he is in many ways as dangerously naive about how dirty D.C. politics can get as Jimmy Carter was going on in.
Well, I fear that these things will drag on and drag on right until after, and I did say so, until after the 19th of December on that November 9th interview that, discussion I had with you. But what's more important is I'm looking at some of Donald Trump's picks, and I'm still nervous about the man. You know, he promised to drain the swamp, but he's put in the swamp slime in his cabinet.
He's put one so far that is considered part of the inside group, but he's brought a lot of second-tier people. Remember, not everybody in the government is part of the swamp. The swamp is that core rotted area. And you know, Hillary and Bush and their circle, that's the swamp. Not everybody employed by the federal government is part of the problem. And I think Trump is trying to weed those people out. So far, you know, he's seems to be resisting pressure to take on Mitt Romney as Secretary of State. I'm sorry that Tulsi Gabbard is now out of the running there. I think Petraeus does have the foreign policy chops to be a good Secretary of State. But the most important thing is it's finally been admitted that the New York Times story claiming that Trump was not going to criminally investigate Hillary Clinton or the foundation turned out to be a complete fabrication.
Absolutely. But the other thing, the most important person in his cabinet is going to be his attorney general. And if Trey Gowdy gets the job, I'll completely change my opinion of Donald Trump.
Well, it looks like Trump may be going another direction. Actually, don't forget that probably the most powerful position under Trump is the White House Chief of Staff. And that's Reince Priebus. And I think probably Trump put him there because he's already thinking about 2020 and running for re-election again, especially with Hillary announcing she's going to try again then.
Well, I did suggest that it would probably be a good idea if Mr. Trump left Trey Gowdy in the Congress. in his present position because he has proved to be an excellent attack dog against this Clinton corruption and crime spree.
Well, we need more like him. You know, we need more like Dan Burton and Bill Posey and Trey Gowdy and all of these people. And hopefully Trump's victory has emboldened those members of government who are sick and tired of living with this image of nonstop, top-to-bottom corruption. And they're going to stand up and say, there are still some good people in this government, and we're going to band together and try and fix this. And again, as I said, anybody thinking Donald Trump is going to make everything better all by himself, you're delusional. We, the American people, are going to have to stand shoulder to shoulder with President Trump. We're going to have to glare through the windows of all those senators and representatives and send them a message. You work for us, and if you don't, we're going to do to you next election what we just got done doing to Hillary Clinton. Okay.
Well, I think the getting to the quickly getting to the war zone, Michael. I think this.
Well, I'm afraid we just ran out of time, John. I'm sorry. We're going to have to let you go and take a break for commercials. We'll be right back after these few words.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org, 800-326-2001.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I got an email from a viewer on BAM User. Yes, the T-shirt says Hillary for prison. And I wore it out this morning, and I forgot to change for the show. And no, I'm not suddenly a Hillary supporter. Who would be a Hillary supporter at this point? All right, let's go back to the phones. Dorothy in Pennsylvania, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. I have a beautiful view of optimism about this recount. I don't want to be don't want tomatoes thrown at me for having this optimism, but I did read up on Jill Stein and the Green Party, and I heard that whatever money that is given to her, donated, because we know it's in the millions, used for the recount, the Green Party keeps. Well, I'm seeing this as a bigger picture. Clinton sees that she can't win, but in 4 years, have you ever heard of the term controlled opposition?
Yes.
So in 4 years, after, of course you've heard of controlled opposition, in 4 years, there'll be a new set of voters, younger. They did go through liberal school. I hate saying that. Hopefully the corporate media won't have that much control over what can be said, truthfully, or untruthfully, I should say. And I sort of see it as the U.S. becoming this whole big mess with Jill Stein and the recounts and everything, I really think it's just aimed to make the Green Party bigger, because a lot of people are going to be just leaving the Democratic Party.
I disagree on that, because the Green Party has already disavowed Jill Stein. They're out there saying that they want no part of this, that they don't want the blame. It's making them look bad, especially because Jill Stein is obviously acting as a front for Hillary Clinton. Jill Stein cannot win the presidency no matter how many recounts are done, even in all 50 states. She couldn't possibly win. Okay, so she's doing this to benefit Hillary Clinton. And the quid pro quo is Hillary has probably told Jill Stein that if Hillary is able to steal the White House, Jill Stein will be a member of the cabinet or something else equally important. That's what's going on. Now, Jill Stein, of course, if this recount thing fails, any unspent money that was donated goes into her campaign war chest. And if she decides to retire from public life, she basically gets to take that money with her.
That's where it goes? It doesn't go into the party itself?
Yeah, it's at the discretion of the candidate. Most candidates tend to do that. When they retire from public life, they'll take their unspent campaign war chest and they'll donate it back to their party or their favorite party member. But the law actually is that the candidate can choose to simply take that money with them as kind of their golden parachute.
That's a shame. I hope that angers more Americans. Oh my gosh. I wish there was some way to get... I tell everybody about your show. I wish there was some way to just connect with more people.
Well, we're connecting with more. We're connecting with more. Our numbers are going up, even as the corporate media goes down. And I'm not the only one. Audience all across the independent media. The readership is soaring. I think people are using that list the Washington Post put on out to go and visit sites for the first time. It's the Band in Boston effect is what's going on here.
Yes, I see that. I did the same thing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that validation there. We got to let you go. Got to take a break for station identification, and we'll be back with hour number two.
Difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.